This week's parasha, Parashas Mishpatim. The parasha begins, Kisik Nehevet Ivri. Shei Shonim Yavoid, if you buy a Jewish slave, he shall serve you for 6 years, Uvashvius, and in the 7th year, Yete Lachavshi Chinam, he shall go free for no charge. Why does the Torah use the term Eved Ivri to denote a Jewish slave instead of saying Eved Yisrael, Eved Yisraeli? All Yisrael are called Yisrael. Why do we call it Ivri? It says in the Avnei Nezer, Pasuk in Bereishis, Kapitel Yudalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayovoi hapalit vayaged Avram Ivri, and the fugitive came and told Avram the Ivri. So we see that Avram was given the term, he was called by Avram HaIvri. Rashi explains that Ivri means that Avram came from the other side of the river, Aver. The adjective Ivri also refers to Avram being on one side of a moral and spiritual divide. Avram's emunah was firmly rooted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, while the rest of the world was not. Avram and his descendants were prepared to stand on one side, even if the entire world looked down upon them. The desire to win approval of others can easily lead one to compromise his principles. Being able to see the truth and follow it with disregard for what others will say, that is true freedom. The Torah is telling us here that although the Yid may be in temporary servitude to his master, he is an Eved, he's currently a slave, he, along with all Yidden, are truly free people. He's an Eved, but he's an Ivri. He stands on the other side. He doesn't get caught up in what other people are thinking. He seeks out the truth, and he's still a Yid, truly free people. The Radak says, on that Pasuk in Bereishis, Mayaged Lavrom HaIvri, Avrom Avinu was from the children of Aver. Aver had many descendants, yet only Avram and his descendants through Yaakov Avinu are called Bnei Aver, the children of Aver. Why is that? Because Klal Yisrael, Avram through his descendants through Yaakov Avinu, they alone kept the language of Lashon HaKodesh. The other descendants of Aver spoke Lashon Aramis, and were therefore called as such, as we see in Bereishis and Kapitel Chafei Pasuk Chaf, Lavan HaArami. So Lavan comes from the same lineage as Aver, comes from Aver just like Avram Avinu, but he was called Lavan HaArami because he spoke the language of Aramis, Ivri, referring to Lashon HaKodesh. It said in the Teferes Yonison from Yonison Ibishitz, Ki Sikne Eved Ivri. The Torah is teaching us that the person was already a slave before being sold. Kisikne Eved, it doesn't say Kisikne Ivri. If you're going to per Kisikne, when you will acquire, when you will buy a Yid. He's not a slave. Once you buy him, now he becomes a slave. So the B'nai Sanhavish, it says Kisikne Eved Ivri. You purchased a slave already. He was already a slave. If we act according to the Ratzon Hashem, then we are called Bonim, children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, if we do not follow the Ratzon Hashem, then we are called Avodim, slaves of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Being that this person, why was he sold, Dr. Ben Sinaivichitz? He was sold because he stole. He did an Aveira. So being that he stole, even before he was sold as an actual Eved, he already gets the terminology of Eved Ivri, that he's a slave, because he no longer is Zeicha to the Madrega of being Bonin Lashem Alikecha. He gets downgraded to the level of Avodin Lashem Alikecha. So it was Taka Kisikne Eved Ivri, you're purchasing a slave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says in the Be'er Moshe, that Klal Yisrael will call Ivrim before Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, they are called Yisrael, a name which denotes a higher level of Kedusha. One who is sold as a slave is given the name Ivri. Although it is after Matan Torah, he is on a lower level of Kedusha. We see this lower level of Kedusha by the fact that he can marry a Shifcha Kananis, and that an Eved is Potter from Kriyat Shema, as it says in the Yerushalmi and Brachas. The reason he is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is because Kriyat Shema is when one accepts upon himself O Malchus Shemayim. Being that an Eved has a different master, he cannot say Kriyat Shema properly to accept the O Malchus Shemayim. The Pasuk says Eved Ivri, and not Ivri Le'Eved, to teach us that even the Ivri part of the person is diminished because he is a slave to a master of flesh and blood. He's an Eved Ivri. Eved is the first thing that defines who he is because he's also a slave. Now he's a slave to a master of Basar Badam. He's a slave to a master, not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he cannot be properly Mimakabu or Malchus Shemayim. It says in Tiferes Reinison that the reason that Klal Yisrael, the children of Avram, had to be slaves was because Terach, the father of Avram, was an Oivet Avodah Zarah. Klal Yisrael had to be purified from the Avodah Zarah of Terach through being slaves. The Torah uses the word Ivri regarding a Jewish slave, for it is only because of Terach, who was Be'ever Hanor, the Pasuk tells us he was Be'ever Hanor, so therefore, because of Terach, that there is even a concept of slavery by Yidden. So Klal Yisrael had to go through slavery to get rid of the Hashpah of Terach. And Terach was Ever, the Torah says Be'ever Hanor, therefore was called an Eved Ivri. It's in Tiferes Yosef, from Yosef Engel. There is no concept that a Yid can be sold forever, for it is usher for Yid to sell himself as an Eved. Yidden are avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not slaves of slaves. Loi l'avodim l'avodim. We're not slaves of slaves. Every Yid is a slave of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're not supposed to be a slave of another slave. The Gemara in Kedushin says, Daf Chav Beis, a Yid can rent himself out for 3 years at a time because he is called a worker and not a slave. There's a pasuk which tells us that it is also permitted for Yid to be sold for 6 years. If one sells himself for a finite amount of years, for example 30 years, it is permitted for we see 30 years as 10 renewals of a 3-year sale. But he cannot really be sold for that long, it's just the renewals. Rashi says that when the pasuk says Eved Ivri, it is referring to a Jewish slave and not a slave who was bought from a Jew. The Goyin says, there are times when the owner is in desperate need of help. He has a great desire for someone to help him. Ki sikne. Although it is the owner seeking to purchase the slave, the Eved, the slave, must act in accordance with the guidelines of his slave. The Gemara in Devarim said, the Pasuk in Devarim, the Kapitel Tezvav, Pasuk Yudbei says, Ki yimache lecha achicha ivri. This Pasuk is speaking specifically where the slave sells himself because of financial hardship. Ki yimache, although the slave wants to sell himself, achicha, the master must treat him like a brother. Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says, Ki sikne eved ivri. Torah Shebaal Peh teaches us that this is a case where a thief who lacks the means to make restitution for what he stole must be sold in order to indemnify his victim. Even before he is acquired, he is by law already an Eved, and it is through the court that he is acquired. Nevertheless, you should know, he remains an Ivri, and you must treat him as a fellow citizen. The Mechilta says that the Torah refers to him as an Eved only because it has no other option but to describe him in these terms. It says in the Hamei Dover, in Pasuk in Shmois, Kapitel Hei Pasuk Gimel, Vayomru Alekei Evim Nikru Aleinu, and they, who is Vayomru, and they said, Moshe and Aaron said to Paroi, that the God of the Ivrim revealed himself to us. Why did Moshe and Aaron say, the God of the Ivrim, when Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself said, Elokei Yisrael? Two psukim earlier, Elokei Yisrael. Moshe and Aaron said Ivrim, for if they had said Yisrael, Pari would have thought that they were only asking for the important people in Klal Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim. Therefore, Moshe and Aaron used the Lashon Ivrim to let Pari know that their request even includes the lowest in Klal Yisrael be allowed to leave Mitzrayim. Here, too, the Pasuk uses a Lashon Ivri, Zakta HaMikdavar, a degrading Lashon for the slave, a low level. When Moshe and Aaron went to Pari to ask him to let Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, even the Nidra didn't get, the low-level ones, the low-level ones of Klal Yisrael, the Ivrim. The Marie Steif says, that one who wants to purchase an Eved should purchase a Jewish one. As the Pasuk says, Ki Sikne Eved Ivri. The master should not treat his Eved in a degrading manner. He should not call him a slave. The slave must act like one in servitude. So each one has their own achrayis. The master has to treat his Eved not like an Eved, and the Eved has to treat his master that he's his Eved. The Moshe Zakenerai Taisvis says that the Pasuk refers to the king of the world, the Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael is an acquisition of the Ribbono Shel Olam, as it says in the Pasuk in Shmos, Amzu Kanisa, this nation Klal Yisrael, you acquired, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquired Klal Yisrael. Sheish Shonim Yavoid is the Gematria Va'at Shishim Shana. A person lives into his 60s. Uvashvi'is Yetelachavshi. And in his 70s he goes free. He leaves this world and becomes free of mitzvahs. Free not in such a good thing. He's free of mitzvahs. He doesn't have the opportunity to do mitzvahs anymore. It says in the Nachal Kidumim that the Eved is called an Ivri, for he was Oiver, a Lashon of Oiver. The mitzvah of lo signoiv, do not steal. Send the Yalkut HaZavi. Sheishonim Yavoid. Yavoid is written chaser without the vav. It should be spelled, Malay would be Yud Ayin Vez Vav Dalet. And the vav is not there, because it is as if the master is working for the slave, as it says in Masechtas Kedushin, that one who acquires a slave is like one who acquires a master for himself. It says in the Nachal Shurik, and after you and Parshas Mishpatim, the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Levilti Eved Ban BeYehudi Achaya Ish, that no man shall enslave his fellow Yid. Chazal tell us, one who acquires a slave acquires a master for himself. It says in Devarim, Ki Tov VaYimach, for it is good for him with you. One's slave must be with his master in food and drink. The master must give the same food and drink that he has for himself, and it applies to everything else, the same pillows, and so on and so forth. The Pasuk is saying that by the masters freeing their slaves, they are causing everyone to be freed from slavery, the slave as well as the master who becomes a slave to his slave. So when a master frees his slave, he's freeing himself of slavery as well. Why does the Torah use Ivri here regarding the slave and not Yisrael? It is not just the slave who is a slave, but his master becomes a slave as well. Klal Yisrael must strive to have only one master in this world, the true master of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being that a slave restricts the capabilities of one properly serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not proper for us to be a slave of someone else. We are all slaves of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything we have is not really ours. The Torah begins Parashas Mishpatim with the halachas of Eved Ivri to remind us that we are all slaves of the Ribbono Shel Olam. When it comes to a person's money, people think that it is theirs to keep, and they can decide according to their understanding of what they owe and to whom. The Torah dictates the halachas of Chosh Mishpat, and we must adhere to it whether we understand it or not. That is the Yisrael here. We're avodim, it's not our money. We can't say, oh, I feel what? I don't know. Him money? My das tells me I don't. Your das is worthless. The halachas and chayshin mishpat and shulchan aruch We have to follow the psak and can't get caught up in the what we feel, because we have to remember that in essence we're all avodin HaKadosh Baruch Hu and nothing is ours. A little bit later in the parasha, it says in the pasuk, Kapitel Chav Beis, Pasuk Chav Beis, Imonai Sana Oisai, Ki Imtsoik Yitzak Elai, Shama Eshmat Zakosai. If you will persecute him, for he will cry out to me, I shall surely hear his cry. The Torah says that one should not oppress Gerim. Rashi says that one should not verbally harass or steal from Gerim. The Torah then says one should not prosecute a widow or orphan. Rashi says that the same law applies to persecuting any person. The pasuk speaks of a case that's more prevalent, and that the widow and orphan are more likely to be abused. They're weak, the widow and orphan are weak, and therefore prone to persecution. Then the pasuk says, that we just said, that Rashi explains the words Imane Sana Isai is abbreviated. It does not state a punishment. While the punishment is not explicit, he will get what is due to him. So Rashi says is that although it doesn't say he's going to get punished, it's not explicit what he's going to get, but he's going to get punished. He's going to get what's due to him. The next pasuk says, V'chara api v'rakti eschem v'chara v'hayu nesheichem amoris b'nechem yisaymim. My anger will burn, and I shall kill you by the sword, and your wives will be widows, and your children orphans. What does Rashi mean when he says that Herod does not explicitly state a punishment for oppressing another? Immediately after, it says, V'chara api v'rakti eschem v'chara v'hayu nesheichem amoris b'nechem yisaymim. So as Rashi says, the Torah doesn't explicitly say what the punishment is, but he'll get what's due to him. It says in the Messiah, Ilmim, Rashi is explaining the psukim that if one is oppressed and he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Torah tells us his punishment. However, if the oppressed one does not cry out, Rashi is telling us that he will still be punished, but the Torah does not explicitly tell us the punishment. So the punishment is that punishment that the pasuk is telling us is only if the one being oppressed cries out. Shaitan the Ramban. The lashon of ki im tzarek yitzak, and the pasuk is a lashon of im, if one oppresses another, when will he get punished? Ki, if they cry out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take revenge for them. Along the lines of the Messiah Ilmim, said in the Klei Yakar, why are they double lashonish using these psukim? Anoy sane tzarek yitzak shemaya eshma, double lashonish. There are times that one oppresses an orphan, and the orphan's mother, the widow, sees, yet cannot do anything to help her son. By oppressing one of them, two are being oppressed, and both of them cry out to Hashem, both the orphan and the widow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears both of their cries and dispenses double punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Av of all Yisaimim. He's the father of orphans. Aside from oppressing the orphan, he is oppressing the father of the orphan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shein the Baal HaTurim. Now the double Lashonis in these Psukim teach us that with the same measure one performs his evil, the same measure of punishment he will receive. It says in the Chizkuni, perhaps the one being oppressed will be worthy, and he will cry out to Hashem, and Hashem will listen to his cries. It says in the Haksava Kabbalah, it says, Kol Almana. He says, the name Almana, which refers to a woman who lost her husband, is made up of two words. Almana. Al meaning missing, not there. Almana. Missing a portion. A husband and his wife are two parts of a whole. When a husband loses a wife, or a wife loses her husband, they are missing a portion that makes them complete. It says in the Hamid Dover, that the Lashon Kol comes to teach us, it says Kol Almana, the Lashon Kol comes to teach us that even if one needs to be reprimanded, it must be done carefully with the correct measure. The Hamid Dover says, right, Ki im tzoik yitzak elai. Every tefillah needs two parts, praise for the Ribbono Shel Olam and Bakasha, both which used a lashon of tzaka. Tefillah and Bakasha. Praise and request, what you're requesting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says in the Goyin, Ki im tzarek yitzak elai, first one will cry out because of his pain, And then he will cry out to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So first he's crying out, Stamazai. He's in pain, he cries out. And then he cries out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why there's two Lashonos of Ki Im Tzorik Yitzhak. It says in their aim, Rashi is explaining the word Ki because the reason for the punishment. Being that the Torah is already giving the reason for the punishment, namely because the afflicted one cries out to him, it must be that the Torah already stated its punishment. There is no punishment stated in the Pesukim at that point. After, yes, we said later that the next Pasuk does. So Rashi explains that while it's not explicit in the Pasuk, the Torah is telling us that he will get what is coming to him. It says in the Be'er Basada, the Torah tells us the punishment for pressing the widow and the orphan. For oppressing others, it is not explicitly stated. Yet just as by the widow and orphan, it is in the form of Mida Keneged Mida, so too for all those who oppress another, the punishment will be Mida Keneged Mida. Said in the Taisus HaShalim, that which Rashi said that the punishment is not written explicitly in the Pesukim, is the punishment for the one who cried out. Unbelievable. Not the one who persecuted, but the one who was persecuted. The one who was afflicted. For he too will be punished. Why is that? Shait nigmar baba kama, andach tzadi gimel. Hamari siddin al chaver, hu nena shchila. Whoever submits judgment of his fellow to heaven, to Shemayim, he is punished for his sins first. So the one who cries out gets punished first. The other one will get punished. The one who oppressed him will also get punished, but he gets punished first. It said in the Mincha Belulah, the reason that the widow and orphan are often picked upon is because they do not have others to support them. It is for that reason that they are supported by their Ribbono Shel Olam. When they cry out to their Ribbono Shel Olam, they believe that it is only their Ribbono Shel Olam himself who can help them. They are not relying that perhaps someone else will come to their rescue and they will not need their Ribbono Shel Olam's help. That is the way someone gets the Ribbono Shel Olam's help. When one realizes that there's no other one in the world, no other way for them to be helped, that is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. The orphan and the widow, they feel like they have no one in this world. They're not hoping for someone to come and help them. They don't believe that. They dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely pure, knowing that it all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them. Rabbeinu Bachya says, regarding Machtzis HaShekel, a half of a shekel as a portion to Hashem. The Machtzis HaShekel is a remez that no person in Klal Yisrael is complete unless he attached himself to his friend. Together with another, he is complete. Yismach Yisrael says in Parashat Kisis in the Machtzis HaShekel, he says that as stated in the Beinu Bachi, each person in Klal Yisrael must work on himself to love his friend as himself. It says in Megillas Esther, we're getting close to Rish Chodesh Adar. Yesh Ne'am Echad. Haman HaRasha says that he wants to eradicate the nation that is one. Yesh Ne'am Echad is a nation that is one. However, now they are separated amongst the nations and can be conquered. When Esther Malka heard the decree against Klal Yisrael, she tried to counteract the reason that the decree might be fulfilled. Leich knois kol ha-Yehudim. Esther said, go gather all of the Yehudim. Esther was saying that Achdus must reign in Klal Yisrael, and with that they will be Zeicha to Yeshua. It says in the Gemara Brachas, and after it, Miksev Chaitim, Chatoim Ksev. Is the word Chaitim sinners written there? Rather, Chatoim, referring to that which causes one to sin. Who is that? The Yetzirah. Brewer, the wife of Remeya, said that one should not daven, that the wicked who do Aveir should be destroyed. Rather, the cause of the evil, the Yetzirah, should be destroyed, and this will bring the person to do tshuva for all his evil actions. What is Rashi telling us? And he says that the Torah did not state an explicit punishment for oppressing another. Rashi is telling us that there were two wrongs here. Firstly, that one yid oppressed another yid. Big problem. Incorrect. We don't do that. Chas v'shalom. And secondly, that the oppressed yid cried out to Hashem that the first yid should be punished for his actions. We have to be reminded over and over again that we are not complete. We must care about every yid in Klal Yisrael. We must not oppress anyone. And if we are oppressed, we must daven that the oppressor should do tshuva and not get punished. One who oppresses another, or one who is oppressed and daven that the other person should be punished, is actually hurting himself. Each individual in Klal Yisrael must see himself as a part of the Klal, one cohesive unit. If any part of the cohesive unit is hurt, it affects the unit as a whole. Unbelievable, Rashi's telling us. We have to recognize this. We can't pray someone gets hurt, he gets afflicted, he gets oppressed, and he says, oh, he'll get his. I'm going to take the high road. I'm not going to do anything, but he'll get his. And he daven to Hashem, oh, make him lose his money, make him get hurt, make something bad happen to him. Chas v'shalom. We're one unit. The Yetzer Hara caused him to do it. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have to work on Achdus. Rosh Chodesh Adar is coming. We have to start to work on Leich Kinois Kol HaYehudim. Gather all of the Yehudim that they should be ba'achdos. And in that schus will be zeicha to all the Yeshuas and Geulas. And we should zeicha to the ultimate Geula. B'mehei B'yameinu. Amen. Have a good Shabbos.